Today is 10/18 in Wicklow MR3 for the Cross Community Working Group on the Use of Country and Territory Names as TLDs, 1130 to 1300.
Let's start. Wow.
You are.
Carlos. Welcome, everybody. It's a pleasure to see so many people coming here today. We have to have a bigger meeting room next time. So we start with Tour de Table, and please present yourself with your name and affiliation. And also, when you speak later, it is great if you state your name again. So should we start with you? I'll start myself. I'm Annabeth Lange from .no, CCNSO, and now co-chair of this working group.
My name is Heather Forrest. I'm a member of the IPC in the GNSO and a GNSO co-chair for this working group.
I'm Mina Elsa, and I'm working for Centre.
I'm Patrick Jones, ICANN staff and liaison to the UN Group of Experts on Geographic Names.
I'm the ICANN liaison to the ISO working group on names and member of the MA 3166, the maintenance agency for the county codes. This is my function here.
I'm Kanchana from .th.
Wanawit Akubut from GAC.
Griffin Barnett from the IPC.
Hi, Dana Brown Northcott from the IPC.
Adriana Lazzaroni from .it, Italy.
Hi, this is Zakir Sayed. I'm an ICANN fellow. Thank
you. Gareth Dixon, litigation associate at Cooley and member of the IPC.
Alice DePayne, member of Inter, Internet Committee.
Hi, Colin O'Brien, Partridge Garcia, IPC.
I'm Mirjana Tasic, coming from Serbia.rs.
Hi, I'm Susan Payne. I'm a member of the IPC.
François Moret, Rofcom, Switzerland.
Hello, I'm Sanna Salman from .fi Finland, CCNSO.
Laura Hutchison from nominet.uk.
Lisa Lindeberg from Norway, GAC.
Yes, it's Ernulf Storm from Norway in the GAC.
Jorke Brake, URIT.eu Registry.
Ron Sherwood, CCNSO, liaison to ALEC and .vi.
Aaron Goldberger, New Star.
Antoinette Mangicotti, ICANN staff.
Marika Konings, ICANN staff.
Carlos Gutierrez, GNSO and co-chair of this PDP.
Lars Hoffman, ICANN staff.
Yeah, it is some people here that hasn't presented
Pinsey from .ts Thailand.
Max Mazelba, Fated.
Thomas O'Toole, Bloomberg News.
So let's get on with, we start with the agenda point to review the achievements we have come to so far and next steps. And what the way we have done it, that I held a presentation for the Centre Regional Group a week ago, and we based this presentation today on the same, just to make it easy. And this is a list of the questions that the working group has arrived at during our discussions, and now we're trying to get answers in from the stakeholder groups and from the advisory committees. So can you load it up, Lars?
Yeah, just 1 second.
It's a little difficult for those sitting there because you have it behind your back, but
it's also in the AC room
if you have it there. Okay.
Through the ICANN agenda, through today's agenda.
Yes.
So this first slide is just a little repetition and also an explanation for those mainly in the centre community that didn't follow the process from the start. So I reminded that what we were discussing now, we are at this stage at discussing the three letter codes in the ISO list. And all the work we are doing is based on the ISO 3166.1 list, and it's only country and territory names and only as TLDs, not at the second level. And I think that that's a very important distinction, since it's going on discussions also at the same time now about using two-letter codes at the second level. So it's a good thing here to hold things straight. This is TLDs in future rounds. So there are existing framework. What we did in the study group and also we in the working group, we have reviewed the existing framework in the area and also the applicant guidebook module 2, where we are talking about geographical names and the special rule we had in the first round that the country and territory names were taken out. So the goal now is to try to develop a framework that we can agree on, if it is possible at all, but at least we should make a good try to find something that we all can live with. So what we have been working on is mostly through teleconferences, and the only thing I put it here is that this was for the center, so you know that. One, please. Can I just do it here? No. So it's the identification of country and territory representations listed on ISO 3166. We have finished our discussion for now, two-letter strings, and we are on to the three-letter strings. And the next step is the full name, long form, short form, and we also have to discuss both Latin letters and the IDN. So, as I said, two-lettered strings, we have tentatively finished it here in the working group and moved on now to the next step. So our preliminary recommendation on the two letters are that, so the working group so far recommends that the existing ICANN policy of reserving two-letter codes for CCTLDs should be maintained, primarily on the basis of that the reliance of this policy is consistent with RFC 1591, on a standard established and maintained independently of and external to ICANN. It's not ICANN's mandate to decide what is a country and what is not, and it is widely adopted in contexts outside DNS. So this is the most sensible solution. So what have been done so far as regard to three-letter strings? In the working group, we have developed options and tried to think of everything. And we have engaged in the community. We had sent letters to the chairs of the SOs and ACs with a questionnaire, with questions that we wanted answered to and get a feeling of how it is out in the community. And for your part, what you can do is to participate actively in this working group. And we always want more people to come to the teleconferences and give input on what they think. It's important to get all the groups to come with their view. And also to encourage your stakeholder group to send an answer to us. So what would be the advantage or disadvantage of the different policies that the working group have suggested? What would be a reasonable solution that all could live with? And what would you prefer? So this is just a run-through of the questions submitted to community on the different options suggested by our working group. An interesting thing is that after starting to talk to different groups about it, has come up other options. So what we have not thought of, that is also one outcome by reaching out, trying to talk to other people about this, that it can be other options and other solutions that we haven't even thought of. So, but what we suggested was, in future, should all three character top-level domains be reserved as CCTLDs only and be ineligible for use as GTLDs? Two, in future, should all three character top-level domains be eligible for use as GTLDs as long as they are not in conflict with the existing Alpha 3 codes from the ISO 31661 list, that is, the three character version of the same ISO list that is the basis for the current CCTLD allocation. Option three, in future, should three character strings be eligible for use as GTLDs if they are not in conflict with existing Alpha 3 codes from the ISO 3166 list and they have received documentation of support or non-objection from the relevant government or public authority, the same way as it's done today with capitals and some cities. In future, should there be unrestricted use of three character strings as GTLDs if they are not in conflict with any applicable string similarity rules? 5, in future, should all IDN 3 character strings be reserved exclusively as CCTLDs and be ineligible as IDN GTLDs? 6, should there be unrestricted use of IDN 3 character strings if they are not in conflict existing TLDs or any applicable string similarity rules? And 7, do you have any additional comments that may help the working group in its discussion of 3 character strings as a domains? So what we have found that is it we sent out this letter to the chairs of the SOs ACs, and what we then find is that very different working methods in the different communities. So, and that is time consuming because some communities have to go home and check with their communities at home. Other have a council that decides, and other have a membership that has to decide during a physical meeting, etc. So this takes time. So the timeline or the time frame we put up to it's too short. So we had set 9th October, and in the 9th October we had received three answers. So we extend this. It's a good thing to get it right, not to rush it. We will give people a possibility to think it through and answer us. And the GAC situation is, of course, special. It's governments there, and they have a lot of other things on their plate, and we all have that for that sake. But the way they are deciding things, they cannot give a consensus view on this. We can't expect that. But we want to have as many inputs from the government from the beginning as possible, but it will be from the individual government representative, not from GAC as a whole. And it's different priorities in the different stakeholder groups, and also different priorities in do you want to forbid it, do you want to open everything, etc. We see very, very different views when we talk to people and present it in the different working groups, in the different stakeholder groups. Already during this meeting, we have noticed that. Competition issues comes in, but also the sovereignty discussion will come in. And then we have the cementation from the past. We have done things already that can't be undone. We have the .com from Comoros of historical reasons, and I can't see the option that we just stop that. So, but it's 300 other three-letter codes that's on the ISO list, and .com is the only one that's taken in use from the ISO list. All the other three-letter codes in this round, it's been a lot. And today, in the applicant guidebook rules, it's not available if it's on the ISO list.
En om die markt, .xyc is actually on the ISO list. The same with .aaa, which is being handed out. But these are kind of special. They are actually usually defined. I mean, so they are not unique in. So they are actually officially allocated, so somebody didn't notice that.
Too bad. But is it a country representation?
Someone has their speakers on. That's all right.
Ah, okay. This is Jaap Akkerhuis again, and with an echo.
Okay. Volume bottom. Down.
No. And this is getting very disturbing. Okay, yes, sounds much better. And people actually getting. I'm not going. My previous life was in audio stuff, so I'm not going to into details. But no, the ISO has all the 2 or 3 letter codes, but a couple of them are reserved for special purposes. And anything starting with an X. Can be used by the user, and the AA and the CC are also reserved. The people are using it for random things like documentation and the X. The range starts with the X, and there's a range starting with the QK to UC, which I reserved, and I'm citating from Hart now. for these occasions where there is some interchange requirement, but it's but the requirements are not strong enough to give somebody an official code. So actually, remember that Argentina is using them for branding cows, and there are a lot of different. So they are officially allocated, and they will never be allocated for anything else to the ISO. But so it is a kind of a gray area, and I wanted to point it out that the rules are complex.
And Sanamat again. Yes, thank you, Jap. That's important. And but it's not a directly country code in the way that it's a two-letter code for the same. So it's allocated to a country.
They're not allocated to a country. It's just whoever thinks it needs a code. I mean, the custom, the International Custom Organization is using either AA or ZZ for the goods where they cannot establish from which country it comes from. And the same with RIPE database using CC for allocations which don't for non which are somewhere in the past that nobody knows in which country it is. So things like that. And
thank you. I'm not sure if it's more. No, that's all. So, but afterwards we have, when you could perhaps come to the next agenda. Yeah. So we come to the initial discussion of comments on three-letter codes submitted so far. So, Lars, could you
open the table if there's anything
before? All right. Yes, we do that. Okay. So, questions? Input, Heather?
Thanks, Annabeth. Heather Forrest. I wanted to clarify before we move around the table and make comments, let's say, to build on what Annabeth has said about our methodology. So, the methodology that the working group approached this with in relation to two-letter codes is to look first at the status quo. And I'll remind everyone, if you're new to this group, that there was a non-PDP study group that initially commenced work in this area. The study group's report is available on the page for this working group. So we don't, let's say, start from scratch. We've approached this by reviewing the study group's report and attempting to determine has anything changed since the presentation of that report, and if so, what. And so inherent in that is an initial identification of what is the status quo. What is the status quo in relation to policy? That, of course, has been impacted since the study group's report on or impacted by the introduction of new GTLDs since 2012. So these are notes that we have made as we've gone along. The second step in our methodology is to canvas policy options, and these are the positions, the seven, I believe, options that Annabeth has identified. I want to encourage all of us in this room and elsewhere, listening, participating remotely, to consider that that is not an exclusive list, that this is a starting point for discussion. All of our discussions are, if you like, on straw man basis. We put things out for comment and hope that that will engender discussion. There is certainly a broad range of views presented in that list of seven options. It's exactly the way that we tackled two-letter codes. And of course, that there are some options in that list for some groups that say absolutely not. And that's the sort of discussion that we wish to have here. From that list of options, then, the one thing that I would like to emphasize is the...
Please mute your phones.
Are we good? is in the options that Annabeth has presented, perhaps just to make it crystal clear, and this comes through in our recommendations in relation to two-letter codes, we must... given the requirements of accountability and transparency, be in a position to explain why we have come to the recommendation to which we have come. So from all of those options, please, I discourage you. I would never say that I discourage you from answering the questions, but I would very strongly discourage you from answering yes or no. That quite simply is not terribly helpful answering to any one of those options. At the end of the day, we need to justify to the community. I mean, that can be a starting point, perhaps, yes or no. But in terms of our conclusions on two-letter codes, as Annabeth has very rightfully pointed out, the basis for our recommendation in relation to two-letter codes, and of course a number of justifications were proposed in that context, because we want to, because we would like to, because our culture demands this, because this is in keeping with a tradition, ranging to the things that you've seen there, this idea of the adoption of a universal external standard established outside of ICANN, predating ICANN, around which we've really designed the DNS. These are the sort of robust justifications that we're going to need if we're going to carry this recommendation in relation to three-letter codes and indeed throughout our work. These are the sort of robust recommendations that or justifications that we need to back our recommendations with. So in that sense, we've also looked for the justifications of the status quo. In addition to looking at the status quo, we've explored why, and some of the reasons why are surprising, we've found. It's one of the great mysteries of this group to see why, how we've gotten to where we are. In any event, I encourage you with that note on methodology, please, we enjoy robust discussions, particularly in the face-to-face groups. It's an excellent chance to do that. And please be open and forthright and frank in terms of your reasoning as well as your view. Thank you.
So then it's Annabeth again. On this stage, does anybody want to comment, have some preliminary feeling about this way to go forward? Carlos?
We have so many good chairs because nobody speaks here. I just want to make a footnote that on the two-letter codes, there is a document, and you will find it in the respective wikis. So everything that Heather just mentioned, you can go through it. This is a very interesting document, and it's still open for comments. And please take a look.
Okay, if it's no comments here, I encourage you to do as Heather said, that go home and read it and try to, if possible, come with other options if you have. And also, even if it's, of course, most helpful for us to also have the reason why you say what you're saying, I wouldn't say, Heather, that it's unuseful for us to get yes or no, because we get a feeling of the community. Is this, if we see that 50, 60, 70% of the community goes one way, we know more what to look for when we go further in the world. So, yeah. So, but of course, the preference would be to have just more than yes or no. And it's, if we send out some surveys, it will be room for explaining why you think what you think. So, thank you so much for that. And should we continue then, if it's no questions? The next point on the agenda is the codes submitted, three-letter codes answers submitted so far, and it's not much, but you have printed out something here, Lars?
Yes, absolutely.
Should we send it around? Yeah.
I think
we can send. But actually, it's not very much. Yes. Please.
Go ahead.
Your name.
Yeah, I'm for the rest of the... from. Not this is not a view from the GAC, but from my it's in the comment that we made, and I think from the GAC we will consolidate. But one of the issues that I'm looking at is when you state about the non-objection or supporting from governments, we do see since the application guidebooks that what is the definitions of governments. For example, this morning we heard, how could we know that the Ministry of Energy is take care of the internet, and maybe half of the ministry in the world, in one country, relate to internet anyhow? Can running around getting the doc support letter on non-objection from the ministry that they have a connections, and we try to see the scenario that three types. One is a country that having a GAC representative. Some country do not have GAC representative at all, and how could we work to be sure that we don't want to go for the objection. We try to be sure that how the non-objection or support letter that coming government from governments for the applicant go into the process is legitimate one, that there will not be an issue of the GAC reps that start to say that this is not coming from our ministry, it's coming from Ministry of Cultures, and then these are the things that we try to improve in the application guidebooks to ensure that the whole process, if you agree that the 3166 will allow, so that the community decision, but from the government perspective, we try to see that how could we facilitate that to ensure that this will be not the issues anymore, because the application guidebook state, even that the applicant may consult with GAC, be like shall, not may, because in that way we eliminate the problem that when the paper get into the evaluations and then there will be no objections on the creditabilities or the legitimate rights of issue, the objection or supporting letters.
Thank you for that input. That's actually a very valid point in as a comment to that option. So thank you. Ernulf Storm?
Yes, thank you. It's Ernulf Storm for the record.
Just a quick note on the papers that went around. So, as Annabelle said, there are 7 questions, but because of the lengthy answers and the shortness, it's only the first 4 that are on this document. They all have submitted 7 answers to all 7 questions. They're on a separate document that's on the website too. And if we get to that, I can put that up as well. But this is just the first 4 of the 7.
Yes, thank you. It's on a storm from GAC for Norway. Just I wanted to just elaborate a little bit on our answers into these questionnaires and just a little bit about the rationale, etc. As we answered that we don't think it is not a good idea to use the country code, country 3-letter codes as GTLDs. Also, our initial opinion is that they should not be used either, not for CCTLDs also. That was discussed a little bit in the GAC session, that some countries did have an opinion that they wanted possibly to use the 3-letter country code as a CCTLD for some reasons. But I think the feel in the GAC room was that some did, and I think many just that's just an assumption that many do not want to use it as a CCTLD. But do not want to use it as GTLDs. And the reason for that, in our opinion, is that the system where we make the policy in ICANN, the system is divided into generic top-level domains and country code top-level domains. And also the 3-letter codes are very the reason for them, and they have this strong association to the country and territory, as have the 2-letters. So therefore, they are associated with the country. So they are, in our opinion, very strong related to the existing country code top-level CCs. So if they should be used for any purpose at all, they should be used for CCs. And also for if we mix CCs and Gs, you will have a user confusion of what is what. And also, in our case, in ICANN environment, we are making policy. Rationale for doing this or that is not, in our opinion, has to have a international law background or not. But we think it's if it's a wise thing to do and to provide user confusion and to follow the existing sort of system that ICANN designed in the sort of first that John Postel made this separation between CCs and Gs. So if we want to continue that sort of system and architecture, we think that the 3-letter country codes should not be used as Gs. I'm not want to make too much time, but in that respect, I can also understand the rationale for other reserved codes on the ISO 3166-3 list does not necessarily exclude them to be used as Gs. Because if those reserved three-letter codes are not associated with a country or territory, they don't necessarily will be mixed up with a territory as such, because I saw on the usage information on from ISO, they are for others, well, they are not, does not necessarily represent the country and territory as such. So they might be available for you. So also we think it's important that other three-letter codes, they have also been used for G's existing, and others like companies, they have company abbreviations and so on. So it's reasonable for other three-letter codes to be used for G's, as long as they are not country codes.
Thank you, Arnulf. Susan?
Thank you. Susan Payne for the record. I guess it's a question maybe to people who are more expert than me in this, but I wanted to make a point that the previous gentleman just made about the distinction that John Postel made between the CCs and the Ts, the Gs rather. And it is my understanding that when he was making that distinction, the distinction was CCs are two characters and Gs are three.
Yes, but my point is that the Cs are associated to a country and territory letter code. So I don't know why he didn't use the three-letter code, country or territory. That's, of course, it's too late to ask him about. But he possibly had a reason for it easier to use the two characters instead of the three. I don't know, but the association with country and territory associated abbreviations like the two and three letter codes and the country name in full, they are a strong association to the country and territory, which are the CCs. So therefore, and also in the name of the Gs, are generic ones, generic top level domains. So in our mind, a generic is a generic name or a generic abbreviation, but not a specific associated to a country and territory name.
Yes, I think I would also say that maybe some of them are associated with a territory, perhaps. I'm not sure, we perhaps would need some evidence of this, but one might also think that some of them would be associated with companies, for example. And it may be that it's the same three letters. I have a number of different roles depending on the context.
Well, yeah, thanks. It will be back and forth. Yeah, that's true. They might also be associated with a company name, but still they are standardized by ISO to represent a country name, and also because since the distinction from day one was made between a top-level domains that was a generic on the one side, and the others were associated with countries. You have this strong relationship between the code and the country representing the territory. And also, one other aspect of not to mix things that can be mistaken for a representation of a country and territory. Some countries have national legislation regulating the CCs. So if that will then, if you allow three-letter codes that represent a country, users will could mistake them to be others than the one that represent the country, and you have different competition regulation rules for the new top-level domains. But for the Gs, you have a similar regulated by the registry contract with ICANN, so they have equal terms, but in the country there are different variations of regulation for the CCs.
I think we stop there. Thank you, both of you, and we can discuss more about that later. Jap?
Yeah, I just want to point out that one of the discussion documents we had for the two-character names, there is actually a historical overview and a good reason why Postel came to the two instead of the three. And this was because .com was already existing, and .edu, and more three-letter code. So that's why the two is picked out. I also want to point out and make things slightly more complicated than people know. There is not only the public list of the in ISO 31-66-1 with the three character codes, but there is also a reserved list of three character codes, which is not public and which also represents some bytes of countries. I think for the UK there's six. And then do it from hand. So if you really want to be very precise, things are getting a mess very quickly. The codes are not really defined to represent the county. It's to be used in interchange. And that's slightly different angle than what people seem to be hammering on all the time. And the last point I want to make, but that's more... That the ship has quite sailed, as other people have seen. I mean, in the last round, having the weird rule that the non-allocated are free to use, there are quite some of these three character codes already used. It might be used for other stuff or might even be reserved. So, so the reaction of ESSEC, now I'm changing hats, will be that... they don't have any opinion what it should be, but at least it should be minimal first and as consistent as possible to minimize the confusion what now is happening here.
Thank you. Thank you, Annabeth. I'd like to pick up and just make some follow-up points and perhaps do so not as a, let's say, in my co-chair role, but also in bearing in mind the research that I've done in this area. So first, Vanavit, I'd like to pick up on your comments in relation to the consent requirement. This is a position that we've taken in the applicant guidebook without any justification and rationale. And in terms of our seeking a rationale here, it is not going to be a sufficiently robust rationale to say because we did so before. So to the extent that comments can be made as to, and I understand that there's a broad acknowledgement, which I find gratifying, given I've spent lots of time on this, that there is no legal basis for that consent requirement. I'd be interested to hear if there are other rationales for that. And on the point about confusion, again, pushing the point about rationale, I'm not aware of any evidence of confusion, and Jaap, you've alluded to this, let's say, the confusion argument. Given that we're having this discussion after the introduction of new GTLDs to the root, we're in a different position than we were, let's say, when we were drafting the new GTLD applicant guidebook between 2008 and 2012. It's certainly the case that it's a different position that we're in with three-letter codes than we are with two, in a sense that we have existing three-letter codes. So the chance of confusion seems, at least at face value, to be significantly, significantly less. Again, I come back to the point about rationale. Without actual evidence or even likelihood of confusion evidence, I don't see that would be sufficiently robust to go back to the community with, but I'm interested to hear comments. Thanks.
Yes, thank you. Just a short comment from my side as well. On the legal basis, there is also for the two-letter codes, for the CCs, there are no legal basis. So in our mind, that does not represent a requirement for having a policy that you should exclude three-letter codes for Gs. So the legal basis for the two-letter codes does not exist. So it is a policy made in ICANN. So therefore, we make policy here, and then the policy can determine that for good reasons, for a clarity in regulation, clarity for the user, etc. And and in our mind, it's a good system. And also just want to quickly add, I think many countries would maybe have the option to be able to use the three-letter codes for an additional CC, so I think that might be some requirement from countries that they want to have that option, but then we'll wait and see and how that goes further down. Of course, thank you.
Your name.
Lutz Donnerhacker for the record. Do I understand correctly that the main discussion point is to extend the traditional historical exemption of two-letter ISO codes to three-letter ISO codes? In the history, Postal started with two-letter codes and three-letter code generics. That's the history. And then somebody, I don't know who and I don't know why, started to give the whole root zone free for keywords instead of level domains. And that's the messy bit we are faced with. And now we have to deal with a problem that two-letter codes are not so likely to be a keyword. Three-letter codes are. And now we are facing the problem that people have different understanding or different. The question we have here is, to my understanding, do we want to extend the special role of two-letter to three-letter codes? And I personally think that would be a good thing.
Thank you. That was an interesting input. So anyone else want to say something before we go on? Okay, Heather?
Apologies, I don't want to jump the queue, but I suppose my comment, nor do I want to make it a binary discussion, but my comment in reply in relation to international laws as not necessarily having to be the basis for policy, we can't as an organization undertake to observe international law in some contexts and not in others. And frankly, ignorance of international law, I don't see that helps us as an organization. So with that in mind, let's say I would say we're treading on dangerous territory with that. Mm. But it's very much... Let me clarify, and apologies, Heather Forrest. It's very much a personal view, not my view as co-chair of the group.
Thank you, Heather. And, well, I gave a personal view as well, just to end this discussion up and go on. That I agree with you that it's no legal basis for it. But at the other hand, what contract is a private contract between ICANN and the applicants. And in the bottom line, in my view, we can make this contract the way we want it, if the community agrees on if that is a good contract and if it's not against any law. It doesn't have, so it's not forbidden, then it's another case, but it's not. But this is an interesting discussion and we need some more advice on that. Thank you. Another comment there? Elise Lindeberg?
No, it's just, as you said, interest discuss whether then it's kind of like a human right to be in the root as a CC or a G. If you're going to say that this is international law, saying that this is something we have to do, we are creating, we're opening up a possibility or not. So that is more, is this against some law, the system we are creating, more than saying that I have a right to be as this and that. Because otherwise, why are we here? We are here to create the system that functions. So I think it's the way you turn and twist it, I think it's a bit wrong to say that no one wants to do policy against law or oversee or don't look at the law or whatever. Of course that wouldn't gain us as a community. But this is about, should we open this as a new possibility? And of course it's always like that when you trade or you want to start a company or whatever. Is it my right to do it or is it like, is that market open for me? Okay, thank you.
I think it's a fantastic question. Heather Forrest, apologies. I think it's a fantastic question in relation to human rights and certainly in my work in that area. There's nothing that says that the government actions that right on behalf of the people. It's an individual right. Human rights, by their very nature, are individual. And in that sense, what's to stop any of us in the room from wanting to exercise our right to call ourselves by a particular name? I could go home today and call my business the Hobart, Tasmania, whatever. So I think it's a fascinating discussion to have. You know, the human rights element of it is, given its nature as an individual right, that brings a whole new complexity to the challenge. So great. I mean, I agree with Annabeth. This is one of the most robust discussions we've had, and this is fantastic. And truly lovely to see so many people in the room and contributing. So, fantastic.
Okay, this discussion at least confirms that there's a lot of different views in this issue. And that's the same thing that we have seen from the few inputs we have had. It's from there to there. And that's what we are dealing with. So this will be interesting discussions forward. So I really encourage people to be there, come with their views.
Can I say a comment about
sure.
You on process, sorry. So Annabeth, I didn't make this clear. Apologies. Carlos and I should have spoken up about this immediately. Annabeth has made the presentation that you've seen to Center, and that was made in your capacity as CC of .no. It's from the GNSO perspective, so that this is a cross-community working group chartered by the GNSO and the CCNSO. From the GNSO perspective, this survey that you've seen, the questions that Annabeth has posted, has gone to the heads of the stakeholder groups and constituencies within the GNSO. This is open to the entire community. We've also, of course, distributed this to the chair of the ALAC, and the GAC has received this, as has been noted. So we're seeking as broad an input as possible in the spirit of exactly the fact that this is a cross-community working group. This is a golden opportunity to seek input from the community. We've asked the GNSO, the various stakeholder groups and constituencies, bearing in mind this is not something that the council of the GNSO will have a say on, but we'll seek input from its respective parts. And although, as Annabeth said, we had set a deadline of 9 October. We've said after the meeting is fine. We understand, you know, it's not a hard thing. Susan, you have a question about that?
I do. Thank you very much, Heather. It's Susan Payne. I'm obviously aware of the questions, and I know that they had gone to the various stakeholder groups and constituencies within ICANN. I am the chair of the subcommittee on new GTLDs for the International Trademark Association, and I had been assuming that it wasn't for us, for that subcommittee, to be commenting on this. But so I'm questioning whether, in fact, my assumption has been incorrect.
Heather Forrest, absolutely. We're very keen to have input from the community. And I understand, let's say, one of the things that Annabeth and Paul and Carlos and I have had to understand as co-chairs is that each of the various SOs and ACs in ICANN works differently in terms of how it responds, and Annabeth has alluded to that in her comments as well. So we understand that some of the comments we'll have will be from individuals, some of the comments we'll have will be from constituencies or stakeholder groups. Bottom line, again, in the spirit of CCWG, we welcome, or CWG, whatever we are, we welcome feedback in whatever form we receive it. So thank you, Susan, very much.
So what we are looking for is to find a way to form principles and framework that bust and that we can live with if we open up. Okay? So I think we don't go into the different inputs we have had. You have had a taste for what you got in the paper, and we'll see how many comes now after the meeting. We hope to have a lot of them, and then you, Lars, will have a lot of work to do to try to find a way to summarize this. The GAC had a very good presentation yesterday and the discussion of the three letter codes, and Karin made a good presentation as well from the ICANN staff. So that's worth looking into if you are interested. So any other business we should discuss today, Heather?
So I suppose, Heather Forrest, just to explain our working methodology, as Annabeth included in her presentation, we generally meet by telephone every 2 weeks. Lars and Bart are very helpful in keeping us with an agenda. Given the geographical diversity of our membership, we try and rotate times of calls, so it's not at an awful time for everyone all of the time. And I very much encourage you to participate. Now, is that our current, Lars, are you no longer our contact? Is it Kimberly? For if anyone would like to join after today, they find they love us so much they'd like to come back.
Thank you, Heather. This is Lars. Yes, you can send an email to me, that's fine, but Kimberly actually administrates the mailing list. So, yeah. But if you send it to me, it'll be taken care of in any case, or Bart for that matter.
But again, just one last remark about that. We have set up every other week, but I must say that if we haven't any substantial to discuss, if it's nothing new, then we just postpone or we just skip one. So it's not that bad.
And I don't mean to try to extend the meeting, but as you are all here, to be able to answer the questions more accurate. One of the issues that we discussed that we still confuse ourselves that when CCTLD, let's assume that the three character will go to the CCTLD. In the CCTLD, it's a trustee of the government and community to run. They have a special arrangement. It's not a contract party of the ICANN, which relate to the delegation and lead delegation aspects in the IANA as well, right? That I have a special procedures. So if assume that the three characters will go to the CCTLD and under the category of GTLD, so then how are we going to do about it?
Maybe a question you want to submit also as part of the answers to the questionnaire, right? That's something that the group needs to think about if that were to be a recommendation.
Right. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining this meeting today. We are really thrilled that so many people are here, and we recommend you to stay on. Be patient.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Alice, thank you.